Department. We are focused on rare diseases in oncology, oncology supportive care, and inflammation. So we are looking to treat several diseases where there's a high unmet medical need. Our investment highlights, we have multiple products candidates across our pipeline. We have in our biotherapeutics business segment three phase three assets, two of which we are actively enrolling patients in pivotal phase three trials. One that is the furthest along is our SGX-301. We're treating for cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, which is a rare non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. The next drug that is actually enrolling patients in a pivotal phase three trial is SGX-942, Duskotide, which we are developing for a side effect of cancer and radiation treatment, oral mucositis, and we're focused on head and neck cancer patients. And then our third phase three asset, which is SGX-203, for the treatment of pediatric Crohn's disease. We will advance this product candidate contingent upon collaboration or partnership funding. In our biodefense business segment, that business segment is wholly funded by the U.S. government. So we are advancing our ricin toxin vaccine with an NIH award of about $25 million. So this is an overview of our two business segments and our development pipeline. As you can see, we have orphan and fast track designation for SGX-301, which is our molecule synthetic hypericin that we're developing for the treatment of early stage cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. And then SGX-942 has been granted fast track designation. And then as you can see, we also have a vaccines biodefense business segment where we are advancing our RIVAX, ricin toxin vaccine, using our heat stabilization platform technology, Thermovax. Over the next year and a half, we have several multiple value drivers, most notably this year, second half of this year, we will be doing an interim analysis for SGX-301, where we will look at, the company will remain blinded, but we'll have a data monitoring committee look at our results so far and give us an assessment. We initially thought we would need 120 patients, so we're going to have an assessment as to whether that assumption is correct or if we need to add a few more patients. We, depending on those results, we hope to have final results in the first half of 2019 for SGX-301. And if we should be successful, the potential having fast track be able to file our NDA in the second half of 2019 and hope for a priority review. For SGX-942, we hope to do an interim analysis with that trial in the first half of 2019 and potentially have results in the second half of 2019. And as I said, the advancement of SGX-203 is really contingent upon partnership or strategic collaboration. For our RIVAX toxin vaccine that is completely funded by the government, we're using our Thermovax technology to heat stabilize the molecule, and under the vaccines biodefense, you develop your product under an animal rule model, so obviously you're not going to test ricin in humans. So we are working with our business partners, Emergent BioSolutions, to scale up our commercial grade manufacturing so we can go back into clinical trials in non-human primates. This just shows an overview of potential market value for our product candidates. So focusing on our biotherapeutics business segment and our two molecules that are being advanced in pivotal phase three trials, the first one is SGX-301. So we are developing SGX-301, which is synthetic hypericin, for the treatment of cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. And cutaneous T-cell lymphoma is a rare non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So it's where malignant T-cells migrate to the skin and form plaques and lesions. So it can look like psoriasis. Many times it takes several years for an accurate diagnosis. The patients are sent to a specialty dermatology clinic where they're biopsied and then a definitive diagnosis is made. So it is rare. It affects about 2,000 to 3,000 patients a year, but it's fortunately a disease. It's cancer. It's treated by dermatologists at these specialty clinics, but it's a very slow growing cancer, and the majority of the patients are fortunately diagnosed in an early stage of the mycosis fungoides, which is the first picture here, and then the cancer can actually progress, but it's not too common for it to progress to the middle picture, which is a much more serious form of the disease with a much poorer prognosis. So our focus is frontline treatment of early stage cutaneous T-cell lymphoma where there's nothing approved for a frontline indication. So our drug is synthetic hypericin. It's a photosynthesizer. So what happens is we apply our ointment, which contains the active ingredient, and about a day later, the patient goes to the clinic, a specialty dermatology clinic, and for about 5 minutes, they stand in front of our proprietary light device, which activates the drug. So the malignant T cells preferentially take up our synthetic hypericin, the active ingredient. The fluorescent light activates the molecule to cause apoptosis and then this resulting in cell death of the malignant T cells. So it's a disease, it's a cancer that the patients are going to live with for decades. So what's important here is it's a recurring disease, and so your therapy, your choice of therapy really needs to be safe. There's really nothing approved for frontline therapy. What's used is PUVA, which is either an ointment form of sorolin or oral sorolin, which then is activated by ultraviolet A light, with repeated treatments, remember these patients are going to live for decades, can develop and cause a melanoma. So you're treating a cancer that chances are you will not die from with a treatment that could cause a more deadly form of skin cancer. So we have been granted orphan designation and fast track orphan in the US and in Europe. We have promising innovative medicine designation from the UK. We completed a small phase 2 study where we looked at 20 patients and did see statistical significance in the reduction in the size of 3 index lesions. So we used that study results to define our phase 3 protocol. So we started our phase 3 study beginning of 2016, and we're going to do an interim analysis later this year. We anticipate we'll need 120 patients for this study. And in our phase 2 study, we just did one course of treatment. So the patients go twice a week to the specialty clinics where they're after applying the ointment, where they stand in front of our proprietary light for about 5 minutes, and that activates the molecule, and then we assess the 3 index lesions in terms of reduction in size and appearance. So the primary endpoint is the reduction of 50% or greater in the size of 3 index lesions. So you can see in our phase 2 study that we did show statistical significance. This was with one course of treatment. So the way we designed our phase three study is we have three treatment cycles. So the patients in cycle one are randomized 2-to-1, so two treatment groups. It's the same 6 weeks, twice a week, then a 2 week break, and then we assess the lesions. And then in cycle two, it's the same three index lesions, but all patients receive active drug. And the same thing, twice a week for 6 weeks, a 2 week break, and then assess. Then the third cycle is an actual open label cycle where if the patients are interested, they can participate in the third cycle and receive enough ointment to treat all of their lesions as opposed to just the three index lesions. And when we were designing the study, we thought, well, after 4 months of driving to these clinics twice a week, we probably would not have that many patients that would elect to go into the third cycle. But we were pleasantly surprised and discovered that of the patients enrolled so far, and we're well into the study, over 70% have elected to go into the third cycle. So as I said, we'll be doing our interim analysis later this year. And then based on those results, hope to have final results the first half of next year. So moving on to the second product that we're developing, SGX-942. It's a new chemical entity. It's an innate defense system regulator. So it works at the level of the innate immune system. And we're developing this molecule to treat a really serious side effect of cancer and radiation treatment, oral mucositis. So oral mucositis is really a dysregulation of the innate immune system. So it's the result of an inflammatory cascade from the repeated radiation to the patient's head and neck and the high dose cisplatin that they receive as standard of care. So it results in really massive ulcerations of the mouth, and then for the most part, the ulcers become infected. So it can be so severe in stage three and stage four where the patients can't eat and or drink. They have to be hospitalized. They take treatment breaks. So obviously their outcome is impacted as well. So once again, there's no approved drug for oral mucositis and solid tumors. There's a drug, pelifermin, that is approved for tumors, for hematological tumors, but it's a growth factor, so you cannot give it in a solid tumor. What is approved is mainly medical devices that are film coatings, NuGuard, and several other products, but they're not really affecting the clinical outcome of the oral mucositis. They're just more preventative and then also high-dose opioids. So our drug is a new chemical entity. It's an innate defense regulator. So what it does is it binds to an intracellular protein called P62 and affects the downstream signaling of the innate immune system. So it really works in three ways. It dampens down, affects the inflammation. So it modulates inflammation down, but doesn't eliminate it altogether, because some inflammation is good. It activates macrophages for infection clearing and tissue healing. So in our phase two trial, we studied 942 in 111 head and neck cancer patients, and we demonstrated statistical significance in the reduction in the duration of severe oral mucositis. So in this trial, we had 111 head and neck cancer patients. We were using two doses, a 1.5 milligram and a 6 milligram. We saw the statistical significance in the 1.5 milligram, which is what we thought which was what we expected to see, because there's extensive, we have extensive preclinical data on this molecule, and it, we found that it translated. So the primary endpoint of the phase two study was a reduction in the duration of severe oral mucositis. But what we found was that in the patients that were receiving the highest dose cisplatin, so cisplatin every third week, as opposed to a lower dose cisplatin weekly, that we had a 67% reduction in the duration of severe oral mucositis. So they, obviously they were the patients most at risk for developing severe oral mucositis because of the cisplatin regimen. So we took the results to both the FDA and the EMA and shared the phase three protocol. And we are proceeding with our phase three, pivotal phase three study with the same amount of radiation, the 55 gray, over the course of 7 weeks. So these patients receive radiation 5 days a week for 7 weeks, and then high-dose cisplatin every third week. And our drug is given twice a week as a four-minute IV infusion while the patients are receiving treatment. And the primary endpoint is, once again, the reduction in severe oral mucositis, but we also are looking at this, the same basic secondary endpoints that we saw from the phase two results. So we saw a reduction in infection, and reduction in ulcerative mucositis, reduction in opioid use, so we're also looking at those as well. So this is the, these are our phase two results. We, for our phase three pivotal trial, we anticipate we'll need 190 patients. We, based on the scientific advice that we received, positive scientific advice we received from the EMA, we are expanding the trial currently to select countries in Europe and the UK. So as you can see, we also, we were asked by the FDA for our phase two trial, because this was a new chemical entity, to follow the patients for a full year to make sure that we weren't having any effect on the tumor or protecting the tumor in any way. And as you can see, there was no tumor progression, and we actually saw a trend in increased survival. But we attribute that to the patients had fewer dropouts and fewer treatment breaks during the course of their therapy. So the third drug that is phase three ready, but we won't be progressing in, without a partner, is to treat pediatric Crohn's disease. So there's nothing approved for frontline pediatric Crohn's disease. What's different in children as opposed to adults is that in children there's both, for the most part, upper and lower GI involvement. So you really need a therapy that can treat the entire GI tract. So what we're looking at is our proprietary oral beclomethasone formulation. Beclomethasone has been around for 40 some years. It's a topical steroid, so it's been used to treat asthma and allergic rhinitis, used in inhalers for the treatment of asthma. Our formulation is an oral formulation, and it's a two-tablet proprietary formulation that one tablet is an immediate release, so you're treating the upper GI tract, and the other tablet is a delayed release, so you're getting coverage for the lower GI tract. What's important about our drug is that since there is nothing approved for frontline treatment of pediatric Crohn's, what's used off-label is high-dose prednisone, which is, has a systemic effect, and the systemic effect is what causes the side effects. So our drug is, works at the level, it's a topical steroid, it works at the level of the mucosa, so we have reduced only about 35% systemic absorption, so you're reducing the systemic side effects, which can be in adolescence severe. So just briefly, on our vaccines, biodefense business segment, we are advancing our RIVAX, rice and toxin vaccine, using our heat stabilization technology. So when we, obviously you have to develop a biodefense under the animal rule, where you test your product in non-human primates, which is the closest you're going to come to humans, and then you